In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. John, is our volume okay? Excellent, thank you. I just want to draw your attention to the gospel this morning as printed in your bulletin. We do this on purpose so that we can focus our thoughts and energy this morning on the written word and how it is meant to inspire us. One of the great challenges of preaching in a postmodern world is that after about 5 or 6 minutes, I know that so many of us get to the point that we say, will you just get to the point? And I hear that, and I understand that. And so let me just get to the point before I get to the point. Y'all with me so far? All right. I saw this week, and I think it's so profoundly relevant in our time and in our society. Jesus Christ invites us to be the kind of person we wished was there for us when we were in trouble. Did you get that? He invites us to be the kind of person we wished was there for us when we were in trouble. Now, there are a few introverts in the room that would say, I wish there was nobody. And there are some extroverts that said, can I have a crowd? But I think the point of it, and I don't own the statement, although I want it to be part of who I want to be the kind of person that you wished was in your life when you were in trouble. The second is that it's important for us to realize that although we are to be the hands and feet and voice of Jesus Christ, we are not Jesus Christ. There was one Messiah, sanctified and anointed to live, die, and rise again, and we are not a repeat. The cross in the room is as a reminder of Jesus, not an invitation for you to buy nails. You're not Jesus. And so all you can do is give it the very best you have, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to be as much like him as you can. The great fear is that we feel that we need to die for any and all issues. That we go above and beyond what we're called to be and say that we're the only one that can fix the mess. I think someone once asked the question, is this the cliff you want to die on? The issue for every one of us becomes being the hands and feet and voice of Jesus to the point that is safe in our lives, that does not risk our mental health, does not risk our physical health. And the last point before I get started is this. That as we explore this passage, we need to understand that Jesus was the one who not only came to bring hope and life and light and joy in our lives, but he invites us to live in that light, in that life, and in that joy. What would be very sad is if somebody approached us and said, how are you today? What makes you feel like that? Oh, I'm a Christian. We are meant to embrace the light, to embrace the life. That doesn't mean we ignore the painful issues in our life, but rather that we, to the best of our ability in our prayer life, hand those issues to Christ. What are you looking for? It's an important question that Jesus asked those around him in this gospel today. What are you looking for? In the gospel today, we see the retelling of the two key moments in Jesus' early ministry, his baptism as well as his call of the disciples. His baptism as told by John the Baptist to point at Jesus and say, he is the Messiah, the anointed one. Testimony of an eyewitness. This is so important in our faith tradition. It's not as if Jesus arrived and says, it's me, only me, always me. But that so many others pointed towards him and declared by faith that he was the Son of God. The Gospel of John has a unique take on these events. And as we read the gospel passage today, we celebrate God manifest in Epiphany and in the person of Jesus Christ, the Incarnation. You remember the Bible verse that goes, and the Word became flesh and living among us, and we have seen his glory. Now, throughout the history, in case you've been wondering, how does our worship space change as much as it did this week? Look around. Now, if I was being playful, I would say, no tree, no tree, no tree, no tree. But in essence, hard work was done to remove the symbolism of Christmas, to move us into the next season. And we have these seasons for very specific reasons. They are some of the touchstones of Jesus' ministry. The birth, the baptism, the epiphany of the arrival of the wise men, acknowledging that God gave Jesus not just for one particular geographical area, but for the whole world. And that followed was the miracle at Cana, where Jesus turns the water into wine. I dare say at the initiation of his mama, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. From a pastoral perspective, if we are called to be Jesus in our worlds, our hands, our feet, and voice, then we need to be able to acknowledge that Jesus came to embody fully God's love for the world. God's love for the world. Not God's judgment, God's love for the world. And if we are the followers of Jesus, we are to be guided by his actions and his words. Now, a preacher who didn't own a watch would be inclined in the next, 20 minutes to talk about the baptism, the true identity of Jesus, the witness of Jesus, evangelism, and where's the other page? Let's not do that. Let's zero in. Can you help me? If I chose to talk about the baptism, I might mention that the baptism was a sign that might lead others to believe in Jesus as the Son of God. It was the voice of God declaring, this is my firstborn son with whom I am well pleased. How might you understand that baptism in the context of hearing it today? As John proclaims it as the eyewitness. Why are eyewitnesses so important in the gospel? Again, because Jesus doesn't show up and say, it's me, it's always me, it's always been me, it's going to be me. Instead, many others say it's him. We believe by faith it's him. If I were to talk about the identity of Jesus, I would probably mention something like, Jesus is the Son of God and the Lamb of God, and those sometimes contradict each other when they're actually supposed to be either sides of the theological teeter-totter. Is it possible that God, through Jesus, chose vulnerability and plays the role of the sacrificial Passover lamb instead of the all-powerful Passover deliverer? He functioned in humility and in grace and in compassion. And all the message was clear. Be the kind of person you wish was there when you were in trouble. Be the voice and the hands and feet of Jesus. It doesn't mean running into the situation and solving everybody's problem.
but inviting them to consider potential solutions. In other words, as Christians, our evangelism in 2023 wouldn't necessarily sound like, "You need Jesus." I promise you that will not be as effective as you think it might be. A matter of fact, don't be surprised to see them hightail in the other direction. But the invitation 2023 can be, come and see. Come and see what it is like to have a community that believes in Jesus. Come and see. Come and listen. Come and watch. Come and experience. And if you're not comfortable with worship, come to dinner club. If you're not comfortable with worship, come to Bible study. If you're not comfortable with a Bible study, come to games night. Whatever way we take to bring people in gently and naturally to embrace a community of believers. Come and see is our evangelism theme for 2023. You see, the disciples were taught every day for 3 years almost how to relate to each other, how to communicate with each other, how to invite people to come and see. Come witness what it is to be in the presence of Jesus. And then make up your own mind about how that touches your life. Now, some of you, do you remember Sesame Street? Does most of the people in this room remember? Oh, yes, you do. It's why I'm using the illustration with this room. Sesame Street. Every morning at 11:30, I was placed in front of the television with a peanut butter and jam sandwich and a glass of milk to watch Sesame Street and hear the following lyrics. Which one of these is not like the other? You remember this? Okay, good. At least one. That's great. Thanks. Every gospel presents the messages this morning a little bit differently, but John points a more divine portrait of Jesus, likely to focus on the fact that although his earthly presence was significant, we can never forget that he was fully human and fully divine. We get that firsthand introduction to the baptism from John's perspective, a key witness and a testimony to who he was. A perspective that John's baptism points to Jesus' identity. Now, what happens in the gospel? Let me do this really quickly. Number one, day one, 4 days, four events. Day one, John the Baptist is questioned by the priests, Levites, and Pharisees about his identity and purpose. It's kind of like when somebody new arrives and we say, "How are you? Welcome. Good to see you. Have you ever been on parish council?" Can I encourage you to drop the last one and stick with, "Hey, how are you? Good to see you. Glad you're here." The second thing that happens on day two, Jesus comes to be baptized and receives the Holy Spirit, and John announces him as the Son of God as he witnesses the voice of God speaking. And then day three, John's two disciples accept Jesus and follow him. Day four, Jesus recruits two new leaders, Philip and Nathanael. Jesus understood the importance of having a group of people who were faithful to make decisions together about the future of the ministry. "Oh, Stephen, we're about to choose the parish council. What does the parish council do?" A group of faithful people who come together to make the decisions for the health of the church. What are each of the committees to do? A group of faithful people who come together to make decisions about the health of the church. I want to warmly and gently encourage you to be part of one of those experiences in 2023. Because as you share with friends and neighbors, 2023, come and see. We need to be able to tell them what they might see. Dr. David Cook says, our lives will be changed by the people that we meet and the books that we read in the next 5 years. And I so believe this. May 2023 be the year that you surround yourself in people that you can come to love and trust. Some will say, they'll come to me, won't they? Nope. No, they won't. You'll need to go searching. Some already exist. I think I have enough people. I understand that. As an introvert, I understand that completely. But the truth is that each new person with a new perspective and new set of ideas, they bless and anoint our lives and our ministry. We are either to learn something from them or they are to learn from us. They may only be there for a season, but in that season, we can grow together. What's the last thought that comes out of the gospel as Jesus was teaching his disciples? He was teaching them to be selfless. What does that mean? To thinking of others first, to put others first, without risking your own personal, physical, emotional, or spiritual health. To think of others first in 2023. Last thought. What do we know as we walk away from this gospel reading today? We know that there was an intense curiosity about John and Jesus' identity already, immediately in his ministry. We know that John is not the Messiah. We know that the Messiah is the Son of God and that it is Jesus Christ. And that in the arrival of the Messiah, he will surround himself in disciples, not perfect people, people of faith who are willing to take great risks. What are you looking for today? What are you looking for? What are you looking for in your marriage? What are you looking for in your job? What are you looking for in your retirement? What are you looking for in your family? Sometimes we have profound insight by the very simple things we do with our lives. This past Christmas, I knew there was extraordinary agendas in our family gatherings. And so I put on an old tracksuit, arrived at the family gathering, and sat down to play with the grandchildren. I'm sure that all the political problems of our world were solved at the adult table, but I wasn't there. And I've got to tell you, I learned amazing things spending time with the grandchildren. I was reminded how important it is to share. Share toys, share food, share embraces. I was reminded how easy people's feelings get hurt when things don't go the way they hoped. I was reminded that if you think you got to go potty, you better move fast. An issue relevant both for babies and some of us getting a little older. And I learned when it comes to food, it's really okay to only eat as much as you really need. We need to be able to open our hearts and minds to learn from each other at all ages and all experiences. May I encourage you in this new year to become the kind of person you wished was there for you when you were hurting. May I encourage you to study scripture and participate in worship so that you can be the voice in the hands and feet of Jesus. And last but not least, may I encourage you to be gentle with yourself. It can be a challenging world out there. And I want to still be looking at all your faces 5 years from now. Be gentle with your body, with your mind, and your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.